عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira at Serbia. This Friday afternoon, so I'm wondering, what was it on the menu that you had this Friday afternoon? Was it the usual dal khao, or was it biryani, or was it dakhni? Well, whatever it is, and if you're still having lunch, it's great being in your company, and I'm hoping that inshallah you're going to stay with us for the rest of the hour. Can you believe it? It's already the 8th of Sha'ban. Yes, the 8th of Sha'ban, coinciding with the 5th of May. We are about a week away from the blessed night of Sha'ban, that is the 15th of Sha'ban. And then, before we know it, we will start the countdown to the month of Ramadan. It will be a downward countdown to the month of Ramadan. And we're hoping that inshallah, in this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we can use it to the best of our ability to make it a Ramadan that will be memorable. A Ramadan that will be like Yusuf alayhi salam was to his 11 brothers. Yusuf alayhi salam was the one who the 11 brothers had asked him, please seek forgiveness on our behalf to Allah. And like this, Yusuf alayhi salam then interceded on their behalf. We pray that for the other 11 months of the year, often, you know, we sin, we wrong, we sometimes forget what our purpose is in life, we lose our way. But there's always that month of Ramadan where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability day and night, the barakat and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being showered down upon us. So there is a definite certainty of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, we pray in this month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that the continuous 11 months of the year until the next Ramadan are such that we keep up this buoyancy that we had in the month of Ramadan. That we, whatever our amal, we start off in the month of Ramadan, be it Quran, tilawa, be it, you know, being more punctual with our salah, be it askar or, you know, ma'mulat, whatever it may be, giving out sadaqah, whatever good deed it may be, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to keep up with these actions even out of the month of Ramadan. Well, what can you expect in today's program? In today's program, inshallah, we're going to be doing your back to basics, that is Q&A on various aspects of Ramadan and fasting. So that's what you can expect in both segments of the program. And then to end of the program, obviously, we will have our lovely sister Laika Idris, who will be doing our informal scoop segment for us this week, as she does every other week. Well, that is now time for us to go for the first ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A back to basics about Ramadan. Yes, and you are listening to me, Zakira and Sermi, on the program Friday Fusion. This Friday afternoon, we've dedicated it to all your Ramadan female masail queries. So starting right off, I thought that I'd share with you something very interesting. Something that someone shared with me and I found very thought-provoking. So when we speak about Ramadan, often what do we think about? Often we think about, you know, we're going to spend more time reading Quran, perhaps incorporate, you know, a few nafil salah into our daily routine, something on those lines. Well, this is something so beautiful because it speaks about a bigger purpose of Ramadan. But before I even go into that, I'm going to remind the listeners that this is a live call-in program. So if at any point you have a query with regards to female masail, with regards to Ramadan or any other female masail query, now is the time to call in. The number, as you heard, is 011-854-1548. The number to call in, 011-854-1548. And Brother Ismail, our engineer, is standing by to put you live on air and take your call. Well, what we're discussing today basically is about Ramadan and about spirituality and how we can get ourselves into the actual Ramadan mode. So here it speaks about how we can make better of our Ramadan, how we can make better goals this Ramadan, how we can set, you know, higher goals for ourselves and achieve them, inshallah. It speaks about how about setting a goal of wilaya this Ramadan. becoming a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How about setting goals that we're going to make our salah like a mi'raj? As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. This is how salah is supposed to be. But unfortunately, because our salah has become such that it's done in such a rote fashion, and you know that sometimes we do with so much on our minds, when we're standing on the musalla, or you know, other thoughts come into our mind and we're so preoccupied. So how about making this intention that salah is going to be something that I'm going to build on this Ramadan, and when I come out of Ramadan I'm going to have a strong salah. How about making an intention of making your Quran your companion? So not just merely reciting for the reason of making a khatam, but rather reciting in such a manner that you recite and you understand and you build a link and a relationship with the Quran. So much so that if ever you have a problem, you turn to the Quran first. So alhamdulillah, we have a caller online. We're just going to hold that thought and go to the caller. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue. Caller on line one, assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother.
I'm speaking from Verulam. Do you know Verulam? Hello?
Yes, you're live on air. You can go ahead.
I'm speaking from Verulam. In 1972, I went for a Hajj, and when you're talking about Ramzan, my memory going right to 72, there were three Ansar Mia brothers. They were cooks. Do you know them? And
yes, brother, you can continue.
And the younger brother was Maulana Ghulam. He was my classmate in the madrasa. He studied in Jalalabad. Are you from the same family?
Yes, alhamdulillah. That was my late father.
Oh, Allah, he was my very good
friend. Allah, yes, definitely. May Allah fill this cover with nur. And yes, many people have very fond memories of having gone.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking now, I'm hearing that voice. I remember the Ansar Mia voice, very famous voice, you know. It's coming out from you now. I'm talking about the late 50s when we were in a madrasa. Then I went for Hajj in 72. And then Uncle Ahmad Ansar Mia, he had a stall in the market, you know. So alhamdulillah,
okay.
Nice to hear your voice. May Allah bless
you. Some memories about your Ramadan while you were on Umrah.
Oh, what a Ramadan. I just can't forget it. That time in 1970s, we were allowed to stay for 4 months. And when we left South Africa, we were on the first flight from Durban direct to Jeddah. That was the first flight from Louis Botha Airport direct to Jeddah. So we landed a few days before Ramadan at the famous Khogi Hotel. Then I met the three Ansar Mia brothers, the cooks from Verulam.
Alhamdulillah. And a little, in the next minute or so, if you could tell us a little about the ambience of what it's like to be in the Haramain during Ramadan.
Yeah. Oh, recently I just came a few weeks ago from Makkah, but in those days, the Haram was quite small, and it was that Ramadan, I told my elders who didn't go for Ramadan, I said, that Ramadan, you can't get anywhere in the world. It's fantastic. You start your day in the morning, 4 o'clock, there's a Tahajjud Azan, then 5 o'clock, there's a Fijr Azan. So you go read Tahajjud Namaz, you read Fijr Namaz, and after Fijr, ulama tell us, make Ibadat, make Zikr, make Tawaf, then you read your Ishraq Namaz, and then you have a good rest. Then evening again, after Asr, till Maghrib, we are in Haram. After Maghrib, now at home in South Africa and other part of the world, we don't read after Maghrib, we don't read any Sunnah, Nafil, you know. So I tell my friend, no, make the best of peace. You are in a Haram, you read all your Awabin, all that, you know. And alhamdulillah.
Yes, brother, alhamdulillah, those memories are definitely fond memories that we will keep about our Ramadan. You know, when you are in the Haramain during Ramadan, those are definitely moments that you cherish. Jazakallah khair for your call. Inshallah. Okay. Alright. That was the brother, Ahmed, I think he mentioned his name was. Please do remember, inshallah, that the calls, or the callers rather, that call into the program, we're doing a female masail program. So inshallah, if you have any queries with regards to female masail, hayd, nifas, istihada, whatever it may be, you can call in and inshallah, we'll bring you live on air and we can discuss those questions. Nevertheless, if your queries are also involving any question that you have with regards to Ramadan, then you could also come on here and share that with us. But nevertheless, Brother Ahmed, they were sharing with us some memories of his trip to the Haramain in Ramadan. And I'm sure there's many a listener who can reminisce about, you know, having been to Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara whilst in Umrah and whilst in, during the month of Ramadan, having taken trips on Hajj and Umrah. And really, there are memories that are so vivid that you will recall from those days, because I know back in the day when my parents went for Hajj, they left for Hajj from before Ramadan, and then they went for like 3 months, you know, and when they came back, the stories and the memories that they had, subhanAllah, with the whole quota system and all of that, the time has become much more constricted now, and we basically only get 2 weeks for Umrah. But even then, if you had to go, I know a few years back, alhamdulillah, I was fortunate enough to go with my whole family for Ramadan, for the entire month of Ramadan to the Haramain. Those memories, breaking your fast while sitting and hearing the Adhan of Medina, you know, or sitting and looking at the Kaaba and, you know, having that first sip of water for Iftar. Oh, subhanAllah, what memories, what beautiful memories. So, yes, indeed, when we speak about Ramadan and we speak about the Haramain, you know, it just brings so many happy, fond, spiritual memories back. But nevertheless, wherever we are in the world, Ramadan should be a time that, you know, we bring about this spiritual reform in our lives. And not only because it is the month of Ramadan, but rather because, you know, in Ramadan, we need to try that much harder to change ourselves so that for the other 11 months of the year, we can remain that changed person. I'm going to read out to you something about how we can improve on our salah, you know, and try and bring about these aspects into our life, perhaps in Ramadan, so that we can keep on for the other 11 months. And inshallah, from there, we're going to go on to the other Q&A. A common complaint of many who seek reformation is their lack of concentration in salah and finding themselves wanting in the spirit of salah. They write or ask for some prescription to bring in the spirit and the love of Allah Ta'ala through their salah. The following guidelines will inshallah assist in improving the quality of one's salah. Men should try and reach the masjid before the adhan so that they may, with etiquette and ease, read the sunnah salah. And this should take them about 5 minutes. In the remaining few minutes before the fard, making istighfar, tawbah, as well as making various forms of dhikrullah, and thinking of the akhirah, and the accountability and presentation of one's deeds in the court of Allah. Reflect over one's life. What if my death has to come now? Try and cut off from the business and worldly activities as much as possible through this little meditation and dhikr. Now comes the fard salah. Inshallah, by this time, much of one's heart will be in salah. With little effort and perseverance, there will be full attention and full concentration. Ladies should try and read salah in its early time, thus giving themselves the opportunity of making preparation for salah without any haste. They too should make a little dhikr before commencing with the actual salah. To get into the right frame of mind, one should sit for at least 5 to 10 minutes before the salah, contemplating on death, remembering that whilst performing our salah, we should be picturing ourselves on the bridge of Sirat. Moreover, if we give priority status to fulfilling the rights of Allah Ta'ala, then He will assist us in fulfilling our daily task. He will grant barakah in our time so that our undertakings are completed. Conditioning the mind. Address yourself and tell yourself, I am standing before the King of all kings. SubhanAllah. I have been chosen for millions. I have been chosen from millions to converse with Rabbul Alameen. And I am being afforded the greatest honor and privilege above millions of others. To make sujood to Allah is to be nearest to Him. If we could truly fathom the greatness of this gift, this ultimate honor, this good fortune, we would never want to leave the position of Salah. And whilst reading the Qur'an Majid in Salah, and when even outside of our Salah, they think, this is the kalam, the direct speech of my Allah, my beloved. By contemplating on the meanings of the verses that you are reading, think, I am listening to the speech of Allah. And since you are reading His speech, He is also listening to you. Therefore, learn the meaning of the surahs that you often recite in Salah. It will not take you too long to do this. If a little time is spent each day learning, before you know it, you would have memorized the meanings and got a full understanding of the surahs that you read in Salah. Whilst reading Salah, think, in this tilawa, in this dhikr, in this hamd, I have special attention of Allah. I have exclusive attention because this is my mi'raj. This is my conversation and communication with the master of the world. What a confounded bounty. Subhanallah. So many gifts in the gift packaged as Salah. How can any sane thinking believer ever refuse such a gift? In contemplating this, we will experience the beauty and sweetness and pleasure of Salah. We will understand the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the coolness of a believer's eyes should be in his Salah. Well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality. May we be given the tawfiq to perform our Salah in this manner. And inshallah, by performing our Salah in this manner, we will then understand why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when performing Salah, some would say that they would become so still that it would be impossible to know whether the person was still alive. Others, on the other hand, would speak about how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whilst in Salah, would walk backwards and forward when reading ayat of Jahannam, fearing that they would end up in Jahannam, they would walk backwards. When reading ayat of Jannah, the yearning for Jannah would make them walk forward. Subhanallah. So this is how we would all love for our Salah to be. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. This advice was by Mawlana Yunus Patel, Rahmatullah alayh. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of His words and give us tawfiq to practice upon them. Let's go for that ad break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our Q&A. Welcome back in. Yes, this is the program Friday Fusion. You're with me, Sakira and Sarmia. It is a live interactive program. So if at any point you have any query with regards female masail, then you could call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And Brother Ismail, our engineer, is standing by to take your call. So, let's get into it then. Starting off, question number one asks, who is obligated to fast the month of Ramadan? The answer, every accountable Muslim who is able to fast has to fast the fast of Ramadan. Fasting Ramadan is not valid if performed, obviously, by a menstruating woman, a lady in a haid, or a lady in her postpartum bleed, that is nifas. These women have to make up the days later on. So on this point, there were two queries that came up. The first one that came up on this point is the query about the lady that would like to take some form of medication so that she can fast the entire Ramadan. Now this query is actually a twofold query. One is whether it is permissible or not. And with regards to its permissibility, yes, it is absolutely permissible to do this, provided that you are not causing any harm to your body. So, because our body is an amana, and if by taking this medication some harm will come to your body, then it won't be permissible. But if you are doing it and for a fact you know that you are not going to be harming yourself, then it will be permissible for you to take it. The other part of this query is that if you take it and if you do have any breakthrough bleeding, even though you have taken the medication, then please do know that despite the fact that you've taken the medication even though you've taken the medication, if you see any breakthrough bleeding, then this will still be considered HAIDS and your fast will not be valid. The other query that popped up from the same Mas'ala is a sister asked with regards to old people. So some people feel that because they are old, they are physically there's nothing wrong with them per se, but they feel that because they are old and from fear of being weak, they don't fast. Is it permissible for this person not to fast and to give fidya instead of fasting? So the answer to that will actually be, you know, like when we speak about most strict rulings, and once we get a ruling from one Mufti, then we should try and stick to this person and go with all their rulings. At the same time, it's istafti qalba. You know, we need to ask your heart for a fatwa. In other words, if you know that you are not fasting because you seriously have some valid problem, you get really ill or you get really weak or you get really sick, then this is definitely, for this reason, you should not be fasting. And yes, you can pay the fidya. But if you know that you will be able to do it, or for the first few days you start and you try, or you fast one day and you don't fast one day, all these types of things will absolutely be encouraged before you just say, okay, you know what, I can't manage and I'm not going to fast. So please, try all these things out first. And then if you really know that you are so old and so terminally ill that you will not be able to fast and you will never ever be able to pay back the fast, then yes, it is permissible to do the fidya. For the lady who was not able to fast, can she then give fidya instead of paying back the qadha? The answer to this is no. Because a lady who was not able to fast because of her childbirth or because of her breastfeeding, then for this lady, she will have to wait. Even if she waits 3-4 years until the children are big enough now, you know, then she will have to wait. And once she is ready to be able to fast, she has to first pay back the fast. And really, if, you know, it comes to a point where she becomes terminally ill or something like this and she's not able to fast, that will be the only time that she will be able to pay the fidya and not fast the fast back as it ought to be done. A reminder again, this is a live program where you can call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. Next question. Is it permissible for a sick person, pregnant woman, we've done that one. Next query, is it obligatory to make the intention for fasting before doing it? Is it obligatory to specify the fasting while making the intention? And when must this happen? So subhanAllah, as much as, you know, when we were little, we learnt in Madrasa, bisawmi, radin, waitu, and those kind of intentions. Here's the answer to this. That yes, one has to make an intention for fasting the next day and also specify for each day that he is fasting of Ramadan. One intends to fast at any time between or after Maghrib and before the break of Fajr, that is dawn of the day of Ramadan. He should say that I intend fasting the next day. So here's the answer. When it comes to Ramadan fast, then it is not compulsory for us to make the niyyah the night before. We have right until nisful nahar, as the word of the words of the fiqh kitab say, until half the day to make this niyyah, and that would be like an hour before zawal, an hour or so before zawal. But if it is a qadha fast that you are keeping, so you miss out the fast in Ramadan, and now you are paying back your fast, then for such a fast, the niyyah for this will have to be made the night before. The niyyah of this will have to be made the night before. So that is two different types of fast there that we need to keep in mind. One is that if we are fasting, and it is Ramadan fast, and we have right until nisful nahar to make this niyyah. But If it is a nisful nahar, would be like an hour or so before zawal. But if it is a qada fast that we are paying back, like now we still have 20 odd days of Sha'ban to fast back any qada that we have, then we should try and make this niya, or we should rather, not try, but we should rather make this niya before, the night before already, right? Before Subah Sadiq, that is. Alright. That's unfortunately all we have time for now, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind listeners right now that tomorrow, inshallah, we will be having a live Q&A program for female Masail queries regarding the month of Ramadan at Madrasa Islahul Muslimah. So we are actually having a pre-Ramadan program tomorrow at Madrasa Islahul Muslimah. The program or itinerary for tomorrow's program goes as follows. Starting off, we will have a qira'ah and a little welcome to welcome the attendees. Thereafter, we will have a talk by Dr. Raisa Abu Bakr. Now, most of you who would know Dr. Baker's weight loss clinic would know Dr. Raisa Abu Bakr. She will, inshallah, be coming in to speak to us about the health tips of fasting. How we can make this Ramadan a Ramadan in which we will not load up on all the junk, sweet things, fried foods, desserts laden with creams and chocolates and all of that. How we can eat halal and tayyib this Ramadan. Tayyib meaning stay away from all the junk and only put good, wholesome things into our system. So that will be Dr. Raisa Abu Bakr. Following that, we will have the live interactive Q&A. There will be some questions that I will come prepared with, and we will start it off like this. But then the ladies will also have pen and paper available to write down the questions and send it forward to the front, and inshallah these questions will be answered. After that, we will have a short interval or a break at around 11, and when we come back from the interval, we will have two more items. The third item on our itinerary is a discourse by Apa Kersani. Apa will inshallah be speaking about the salient features of Ramadan. And Apa will touch on, you know, how to make our Ramadan a spiritual one, how to make the most of our Ramadan, how to use our Ramadan in such a way that the other 11 months of the year will also be our Ramadan will also be beneficial to our other 11 months of the year. And then to wrap up our program, we've left a very lovely item for last, and that is a cooking demo by Sister Bashira Mutala, also known as Cuisine Novella. So if you've gone like to the rooftop garden, like today there's this rooftop garden in Musgrave, or if you've attended the Hartley Fair, you know, you're probably quite familiar with Cuisine Novella. So we're going to have Sister Bashira Mutala with some sumptuous recipes and a live cooking demo where she will show us how to make some healthy things that we can have this Ramadan. Let's go for an ad break, inshallah. When we return, I'll tell you a little more about the program, as well as we'll have online with us Sister Laika Idris for the informal scoop. Welcome back, and yes, as you heard there, it is time for the informal scoop with Laika Idris. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Laika, what do you have in terms of news for us this week?
Okay, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So in terms of news from this, from the show, we're focusing on Ramadan since we're approaching that month. So we're pausing with the female issues from this week until the end of Ramadan. So going to my first story, in Amman, with the holy month of Ramadan around the corner, foodstuff traders say that the local market is ready to welcome the fasting month. According to Foodstuff Traders Association President Khalil Haj Tawfiq, the supply of basic food items in the local market, including those in high demand during Ramadan, is sufficient to meet public demand during the holy month, which will start in May. Haj Tawfiq says, "We are confident that the country's stock of food is sufficient as we do not expect a high demand during Ramadan," noting that citizens' consumption during fasting days is becoming somehow similar to ordinary days. This is due to the difficult economic situations Jordanians are going through. Ramadan used to witness an increase of at least 50% of food demand, but this has not been the case in the last few years. with the biggest chunk of citizens' income now going to services such as electricity, education and rentals, the consumption behaviors of Jordanians during Ramadan have changed. An example Hart Tawfiq used was those who used to cook other meats every day during Ramadan shifted to chicken only, adding that the month is followed by Eid al-Fitr and the start of the school year, while coinciding with wedding seasons, which all add to the financial burden. According to Hart Tawfiq, the influx of refugees has increased the overall demand for food, and the association has recently met with traders from malls and shops to ensure that food items are available and prices are stable throughout the month of Ramadan. And then also in Ghana, Muslim leaders such as imams and Islamic scholars have begun preparing the minds of Muslims through preaching in mosques to take part in the Ramadan fast. The National Chief Imam of Ghana, Sheikh of Muslim Councils, will activate a body known as Hilal Committee to provide advice on how to take part in the coming fast. And we also know that Ramadan is a month of giving. Acts of generosity become more evident during this month. The Al Masriya Language School is an amazing example of such acts of generosity. Its students decided to get together and collect 30,000 Egyptian pounds in order to put together a few essential food items and distribute them to the poorer families of Egypt. So this is currently underway. The school has carried out this last year as well. And inshallah, they aim to better the number of families they were able to reach last year. And these are just some examples of how Muslims across the world prepare for the holy month. It's actually very interesting and inspiring to get insight as to how people come together in their countries, all in the spirit of Ramadan. Inshallah, we will share more about the different countries and the preparations they carry out in the weeks to come on the Informal Scoop with me, Laika Idris. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And yes, a very interesting information there about the preparation for Ramadan in various countries indeed. I myself was quite intrigued when I read these articles that were put up on Facebook and other social media platforms. And I'd love for you to, if you didn't listen to that or you didn't manage to hear it in entirety, then for you to join us a bit later, you can check my Facebook page or my Twitter handle, and inshallah I'll have the podcast put up for you there so that you can have a better listen to that. Well, it's time for us to wrap up the program. I'm hoping that inshallah, if you're in the Durban area tomorrow, you're going to come and join us at Madrasa Islah al-Muslimat on 92 Harris Crescent, inshallah. The program will be from 9:30 to 12:30. And alhamdulillah, as I mentioned before, the breaks are a very nice lineup. A few that you should definitely not miss, like Malima Kirsani, Sister Raisa Abu Bakr, as well as our cooking demo. Yes, all this and much more coming your way tomorrow at the program at Madrasa Islah al-Muslimat. So please do pop by, and inshallah, if you do come by, come over to the front and let us know who you are, which programs you listen to, as inshallah, I will be there and a few other members of the Radio Islam team. It will be lovely catching up with you, chatting with you, getting to know you, and it's always lovely getting to know the listeners, you know, the face behind the voice. They always tell me that when they meet me, oh, it's lovely getting to know the face behind the voice. So if you'd like to meet me, then inshallah, come along tomorrow to Madrasa Islah al-Muslimat for our Radio Islam pre-Ramadan ladies only event from 9:30 to 12:30. Hope to see you there. From me though, Zakira Ansarmia, from me until next week, it's time for me to bid you farewell and request your du'as. Fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.